Welcome back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here. It's long been known that psychiatric diseases like schizophrenia were the result of a combination of our genes as well as our environment. But what those genetic factors are remains unknown as researchers continue to search for answers. With us this morning are two such researchers. Dr. Mantosh Dhawan is Distinguished Service Professor of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences, and Dr. Chris Morley, Associate Professor of Family Medicine, Public Health, and Psychiatry, and Vice Chair for Research in the Department of Family Medicine, both from Upstate Medical University. Welcome to you both. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Dhawan, tell us, when we talk about schizophrenia, you're studying for the genetic basis of schizophrenia, but what do we actually mean when we talk about that disease?
Well, schizophrenia is one of the most serious psychiatric disorders. 1% of the population has it. So if you step into the shoes of a schizophrenic, what you'll find is they at some point have episodes where they start hearing voices, usually telling them negative things. They also start believing things that are very difficult for other people to understand. So paranoia is a good example, where someone who's paranoid begins to feel that everyone is out to hurt them. And you can imagine being in their shoes, sitting in a room, and thinking that someone's going to hurt them, but not knowing why or who. And so it's a very, very difficult existence for them that completely changes the way they see reality. And we call that they have a break with reality. That leads to a very devastating state for themselves, so that 10% actually kill themselves. And even though we believe in the popular press that they commit these horrible crimes that have been in the news recently, the fact is that more often than not, they are the victims of the crime.
They'll harm themselves before harming others.
They will harm themselves, and also other people will take advantage of them before they will hurt other people. So it's a very difficult position for them to be in.
So it's a very, very difficult disease, obviously.
It's a very difficult disease.
So there is a genetic underpinning or component of this disease, clearly, and that's what you are attempting to find. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So tell us about the study. So what is it that you're trying to do?
Well, at this stage, we have accomplished sort of an unprecedented feat. We, as a group, not just at Upstate, across about 10 institutions across the United States, have collected 10,000 patients with schizophrenia and related disorders and 10,000 healthy controls, people who aren't affected by either schizophrenia or something similar and who don't have a first-degree family history. And at this point, we're almost done with the study. We've been working for about 5 years.
So the idea is you wanted to collect DNA samples from 10,000 people who have been diagnosed with schizophrenia and 10,000 samples from people who are otherwise normal.
That's
to do a comparison.
That's right. Okay. And we collect clinical data as well, information that just helps us tell a little bit more about their diagnosis. And then what our goal is to first and foremost, build a public repository that people can go back to and draw DNA from, because we immortalize cells called leukocytes.
What does that mean, immortalize?
It means that there's a tissue sample from the person, and scientists can go back and pull samples of the tissue from the person in perpetuity. As long as there's a repository maintaining basically a petri dish full of cells, people can go back and pull a live sample of cells from that person and extract DNA.
But what exactly is the concept here? I mean, I understand the idea of developing some kind of a registry, but clearly if you're doing a comparison between so-called normals and people who have been diagnosed with schizophrenia, you're obviously looking for the differences. Isn't that right, Dr. Dhawan?
That's correct. There are a number of different ways to look at differences in the genes. And right now, we think that there might be 2,000 genes that contribute to schizophrenia.
Wow.
And yes, that's a lot. And that's partly why it's been so difficult to find a simple answer. And the reason we're collecting 10,000 normals and 10,000 affected patients is because we need very large numbers to sort out these minor differences.
And is the purpose then to figure out different ways that the body is handling this disease, and therefore you could develop either kind of interventions, medicinal interventions, or something of that nature?
Well, there are a number of different things that you could do with it. First of all, the identifying genes that are related to schizophrenia will potentially lead you to metabolic pathways, things that are happening in the body. If a gene codes for a particular protein, it tells you what protein is involved in the disorder. And that can help target medicinal interventions.
So drugs that could help treat the disease.
Mm-hmm. That's right. There are also more, at this point, science fiction-y concepts of actually intervening within the genome, but that's a little bit far off. And
what do you mean by that?
Well, we're not going to be able to intervene on a single gene that's suddenly going to alter
reverse it or
prevent it completely. It's, as Dr. Dewan pointed out, quite a complex disorder, and therefore probably quite a complex array of contributors that cause something to emerge that we recognize as schizophrenia.
So the
second thing that it could also do is potentially help us identify people who may or may be at increased risk. So, for example, when we talked about it being both genetic and environmental, twin studies historically have had about an 80% shared risk between twins. So identical twins, if one has schizophrenia, the other has about an 80% chance of developing schizophrenia itself.
That leads one to believe that it's heavily weighted towards the genetic.
Heavily weighted, but not completely. So there are a number of hypotheses about environmental insults, viral infections, all sorts of things that we don't have time to get into here that contribute to schizophrenia. That's why it's not a simple picture. But if you can identify who is at increased risk in advance, you could potentially do what's called a prodromal treatment,
which helps. What does that mean?
Well, it's something you do in advance that helps limit the seriousness or even potentially alter the course of the person's progress towards the disease state.
So in a simple terms, finding out what the genetic underpinnings are, or at least understanding the array of genetic potential underpinnings for schizophrenia, could help you intervene and perhaps either identify people in advance or help through some eventual medicine, help the people who are suffering from it. Is that the idea?
That's exactly right. Medicines would be one, but also, again, because it's environmental, we may be able to intervene with the family or on an interpersonal basis.
So that you could prevent, if you knew this person was, at a higher risk, then you could do some proactive things to help change the environment.
That's correct. So it's risk as well as as soon as you see the earliest symptoms, we can intervene.
One thing that we should say, as long as we're talking about this, is that nothing is going to be deterministic in terms of having some exact equation that's going to tell you who is going to have what we call schizophrenia and who isn't. So we're doing this with the best hopes of identifying factors that contribute, but we're probably quite a ways away from a solid answer of being able to define who's going to end up schizophrenic or not.
But obviously this is important data that needs to be compiled to begin that process. I mean, if you don't begin somewhere, you'll never get there.
If we can't unravel the puzzle, we won't move on to it.
Okay, well, I don't want to run out of time. In the little bit of time we have left, you are currently looking for some people here in Syracuse. Tell us about that quickly.
Well, right now we've collected probably enough schizophrenia patients. We are looking for healthy controls. We've got a few hundred left to recruit. And people can contact our research nursing colleague. She's great with our
subjects. I have a number, actually.
Yep.
If people are interested in participating, and these are healthy people with no mental illness, so to speak, they can participate in the study, and they have to call 464-6943. We'll also have a link on our website. And very, very briefly, what do they have to do? Are they giving you some blood?
They take about 10 minutes worth of questions and answers. They do an informed consent process, and they give about 50 cc's of blood.
Well, I think we hope to get the word out. Hopefully you'll get some more people to participate. It's very important work that you're doing, and I thank you both for coming in and sharing it with us. We'll be right back with more HealthLink on Air right after the news. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.